Welcome back to our Healthy Living Podcast, brought to you by Balancing Life's Issues in partnership with CalCPA. I'm Diane Pulley-Blank. I am an exercise physiologist, been in the health and wellness field for really a very, very long time. So in our previous episodes, we looked at healthy habits and movement as medicine, how you can improve your health and your life simply by moving more and sitting less. So today, we're going to explore how you can empower yourself to become a health advocate for you and your loved ones. You know, there's so much, in quotes, health information out there. So how do you separate what's credible from all the other stuff between Insta, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook? It seems like there are so many people who are happy to share their special information on social media. So it's important to be wary and to be very cautious. Let's look at how you can separate the reliable and the accurate from all that other noise. First of all, look at the source. Where is it coming from? Reputable sources include government agencies, the CDC, the NIH, the World Health Organization, and those are links that are going to end in .gov. As well as, you know, there are hospitals like the Mayo Clinic, which is my personal go-to, the Cleveland Clinic, Boston Women's, information from recognized universities such as Harvard, Johns Hopkins, and well-established peer-reviewed journals, The Lancet, the New England Journal of Medicine, JAMA, the Journal of Clinical Oncology. You can be pretty sure and rest assured that the information you're getting from these sources is true. So what about websites? They're all over the place, right? Some are good, some are not very good, and there are some that are very suspect. The NIH put out a checklist that can help you determine the validity of a medical website. First of all, ask why. Why was it created? Is the mission or the goal of the website owner or the sponsor made clear? Do they actually put it out there? Is the website owner or the sponsor a federal agency, a medical school, a hospital, or a large professional or nonprofit organization? Or is it related to one of these? Probably pretty accurate then. Is the website written by a medical or scientific professional? Or does it reference trustworthy sources for its health information? If it's true and important, more than one reputable source is going to report it. Does the site offer contact information, like an email address or a phone number or a mailing address where you can actually call somebody or get more information? When was the information written and when was it last updated? You know, the web is wonderful and it keeps all kinds of historical documents, right? But a 10-year-old article is most likely going to be outdated. And is your privacy protected? Is the website secure? And then ask yourself, is this website offering like really quick and easy solutions to resolving health problems? Chances are it is not very reputable. Just be extremely cautious with influencers, random blogs, if the website is trying to sell you something. Wherever you're looking, be sure to question and verify. If an online source does not provide verifiable references, it's best to just ignore it. So some red flags here. Overpromises. Cures all diseases. Lose 20 pounds in a week. 2 minutes a day. Do a healthy heart. Pretty much red flags, right? Or fear-based languages. You know, doctors don't want you to know this. Or there's no credible citations or only citing other opinion blogs. And then emotional manipulation. Oh, you're going to feel so terrible if you don't do this, right? Look for clear facts. And while online information is really helpful, it is really absolutely necessary to know the source. And I can't stress this enough. It can be a starting point, not a replacement for your healthcare provider. Before making medical decisions, check with a licensed physician, dietitian, pharmacist, or other certified health professional. So now, let's say you have an appointment with your healthcare professional. The reality is, you know what, the medical world has undergone and is continuing to undergo dramatic changes. which not only affect your relationship with your healthcare professional, but the quality of the care that you receive. The family physician of years gone by just does not exist. Most primary care appointments are booked for 15 minutes. Now, according to a longitudinal study that was recently published by JAMA, the mean healthcare professional will spend an average of 18.7 minutes with the patient. And your healthcare professional may be seeing 25 or more patients a day. It's, you know, kind of no wonder that they might seem rushed and stressed. So in order to ensure you receive the best healthcare, you need to partner with your physician and you need to make sure your communication is clear and effective. So let's look at tools that can help you get the most out of your visit. Before your appointment, be prepared. Your healthcare professional can only treat you if they have a full picture of your health history, including family medical history, as detailed and as far-reaching as possible. Have a written health history record, whether in a notebook, in an app, on your phone, or an accordion file. It doesn't matter where you keep it. Just be sure it's up to date and you know where it is. And a family health history. Go back as far as possible. Grandparents, older adult family members, aunts, uncles. You need to know about their illnesses and their conditions. And this can be the key to managing your health and the health of your children and even your grandchildren. Here's just a little bit of caution. Sometimes anecdotal medical histories are inaccurate. So try as best you can to substantiate what you've been told. Many conditions are hereditary. They might skip a generation. So if you know you or your children are at risk of developing something, it is so much easier to diagnose and to treat it early. Like they say, forewarned is forearmed. And now just make sure that you choose the right format for you. There are lots of apps. You can just write things down on paper, and as long as you know where it is. And the CDC offers a free family history document that you can fill out and store securely on their website. Just go to cdc.gov and look for family history. Be sure you know your symptoms, when they started, when you noticed them most, when they got worse or better, what self-treatment you've done. For example, dosage of painkillers or fever reducers or topical treatments, neuropathic or over-the-counter treatments, and so on. Be sure to include both major and minor symptoms. For example, rather than saying, oh, I've had a headache for a long time, take a deep breath and say, I've had a headache since Monday night. I've taken 60 milligrams of Tylenol every 4 hours. It helps a little, but only for an hour or so. It gets worse during the day, and I'm seeing spots, and I get dizzy. A lot of information there. It's pretty comprehensive, and it will give them lots to go on. And make sure that you include what other supplements you're taking, over-the-counter medicines, because many will interfere with the effectiveness of a prescribed medication. And finally, the more information you can give, the more they will have to work with. For instance, if this is a recurring problem, they need to know, and all of this will help you have a productive appointment. So during your appointment, first of all, take notes. I can't stress this enough. It's often very useful to bring someone with you to be the note taker, especially if it's going to be an important, maybe unsettling kind of an appointment. And then ask questions. Don't be afraid to interrupt or to ask for clarification when you don't understand. Repeating what you've heard is very useful. It lets them know if you really have a grasp of what you've been told. A great phrase to use is, I want to make sure I understand. Or the one that I use all the time. Can you repeat that in simple words? You may feel uncomfortable asking about options, but know it's more important to understand that every treatment, every pill, every procedure will have upsides and downsides. And you've got to ask about alternatives. What are other treatment options? You have to make sure you have all the information you need to make an informed decision. A decision which is the right one for you. Also, it is your right to have a second opinion or to change providers if you're not comfortable with the information you're getting. And you know what? This can be hard and it can take courage. But the bottom line is, this is about you, not about the healthcare professional. And if you need treatment or surgery or hospitalization, ask about aftercare. What will your limitations be? For how long? Will you need to be homebound? What are follow-up treatments and appointments? What should you expect? So then after the appointment, don't forget to follow up. Remember, your healthcare provider can only be your partner if you follow their instructions. Make sure you understand what needs to be done. Put it in your notebook. Put it in your health history document. It's so important to write things down. We always think we're going to remember, and then we don't. So don't trust your memory. Trust your pen. And then be sure you follow your healthcare provider's orders. If they request screenings or a test or prescribed medication, follow through with that. If by chance something is not working or does not seem right for any reason, let them know immediately. If prescribed medication is not working or is making you feel worse or you're having an adverse reaction to it, contact your healthcare provider immediately. And if possible, schedule your follow-up appointments at the end of the existing appointment. Don't put it off. And then make sure it gets into your calendar so you don't forget. And what about asking to actually make a recording of your appointment? Having a recording is an excellent way to keep information straight. You have an exact record of what was said, and you can go over it as many times as you would like. And in addition, often taking notes and listening and understanding all at the same time is really hard. So having a recording takes the worry away. But be sure to ask permission. It's not accessible to secretly record your conversation. And in fact, it very well may be illegal. If your healthcare provider is aware they're being recorded for your use and understanding and what was said, most of them are going to say, absolutely, go right ahead. So then, when might you want to record a conversation? First of all, when it comes to complex issues. For example, you have a cancer diagnosis. There are lots of big words and unintelligible speak that you're going to be hearing. Recording your talk with your healthcare team gives you the opportunity to review it at your leisure and figure out what you don't understand, so you can then go back and ask your questions. And then for emotional issues, like maybe end-of-life conversations involving your aging loved ones, they're difficult, and what is being said and alternatives are not necessarily going to be easy to understand. Having an extra tool, a recording, helps with understanding these issues and can be shared with other family members too. And the biggest reason for recording in my book is that you're able to share the exact words that were used. This is so extremely helpful from the point of view of helping others to feel included and also generating conversations and questions. So bottom line, if your healthcare provider is agreeable, recording the visit conversation can be such a help. So now, let's talk a little bit about tough conversations. It's very easy to leave appointments confused or feeling like you're unheard or you're unsure about treatment. So you do need to speak up and ask questions, because the time with your healthcare professional may be very limited or very tight. It's really important you're prepared to ask the tough questions. It may be as serious as, how much time do they think you or your loved one has to live? Or maybe, how serious is this disease or this illness? What should I expect? What are the side effects of the drugs you're putting me on? Be sure to think of these questions before your appointment and have them written down in order of importance. If you think you're going to be too emotional to ask these really tough questions, write them down and just give them to your healthcare provider to read and respond to. Or bring someone with you who can ask the tough questions for you. What is so important is that you don't blow them off, as hard as it is. You need to know this information. And then make sure that you record the answers by writing them down, or hopefully you've got a recording of it. So let's look at some questions that every patient should ask. What are the pros and cons of this option? Can you please tell me that in plain language? What alternatives are there? What about side effects? What side effects should I expect? What happens if I wait or choose not to do this? Can you check if these medications interact with ones I already take? And what is the best way and the best time to take this medication? You can also tell them that you know they're busy, but it's important. It's important for your decision making, and it's affecting your daily life, and you want to discuss options. Advocating for yourself takes you from feeling overwhelmed to feeling empowered. You've got this. It can take practice, and the more you're able to cut through all that noise, the more you have control over your own health. So thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by Balancing Life's Issues in partnership with CalCPA Health. I'm Diane Polyblank, and I hope you will join me for the final episode in our Healthy Living series, The Long Game, Thriving at Every Stage of Life.